Good evening.
It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fred, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
We are back. We are back. This is the Marriage Playbook with Coach's Friend, and we are and Coach
and Coach Eric.
All right. And listen, no, I'm not going to leave him out, but I'm telling you, we're so excited to be back on the air with you. Oh, we just want to send our love, our blessings, as always. We thank you guys for your support. Thank you for your prayers. I'm telling you, it's been some trying times, but we give God the glory for another opportunity, another Monday. Yes, this is the Marriage Playbook, and we are on part three. We are still talking about family matters, okay? So if you didn't hear it, you need to go on and listen to part one, which was with our special guest, which was Elder Antone and Elder Irene Major, and they discussed a lot about raising children and young people in society today, in the house of God, under the word of God, and giving proper guidance to kind of navigate their success in life and in Christ as teenagers and as a family unit. And then we came back and we talked about part two, and we talked about bringing the family unit together, and that was actually on Labor Day. So we thank God for that. If you have not heard that, you need to go listen to that. And then today we are on part three, our final part to this, and guess what it is? The past, the present, and the future, and we're talking about families here. So we are excited. Listen, I need you to tune in. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. You can log on any mobile device and join us right now. If you want to call in, if you want to call and even listen to the show, call in and be live. You're going to press 1. The number is 646-668-8485. Listen, call in with your questions or your comments. Also, don't forget to go to the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran at gmail.com. We'll take your questions or your comment and speak it live on the air right from there. So listen, Coach Eric, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing just capital, man. Blessed of the Lord. It's Monday, so you know I was in church Sunday. So I'm blessed of the Lord today.
Yes.
So we thank God for this opportunity to come to you. I hope you're joining us, because I think this is going to be a really important show today. Okay, so we're going to get right back to it. Okay, but we're going to take a little break. We're going to come right back with the Marriage Playbook.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-7000. 3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Here we go. Marriage Playbook, Season 6, Game 8, Family Matters. We're finishing up. This is Part 3. I want to start by talking about this. Our topic, the past, the present, and the future, is dealing with time. And I want to say this because in my family, we have experienced many funerals in the past 3 months, and it's come to my conclusion that we don't respect time. We don't have a healthy respect for time. And time plays a big role in the outcome of our lives. And we need to learn how to respect it, not to waste it, and to be productive in our decision-making concerning our families. Going forward, in the family, with unity and love, it depends on how we communicate with one another, how we deal with one another. Do we have love at the center of our communication? Is there the type of love that's agape, God's love, in the center of our conversation and our communication, the way we deal with one another? What we do often, and this happens in many families, mostly all of them, we allow offenses, misunderstandings that happen in our present and in our past without addressing them, and then it directly affects our future condition of our family and how we deal with one another.
Coach Eric, and you're so right. And one of the things that I want to say is the key part was this. When we did a show about what is love, and everyone know that God is love. And the thing that we have to understand as humans is that we cannot love one another without God. Meaning God will be the one to teach us, no matter how small an offense may be to the largest offense, you know, when they're your family, when they're your brother and sister, when they're sisters and brothers in Christ, you know, one of the things that we do or we tend to do is it can be the smallest thing. It can even be a misunderstanding. What we tend to do is instead of the love that which covers a multitude of sins, instead of us applying God's love, we'll apply anger. We'll apply strife. We will apply bitterness. We will apply non-communicating. I don't want it because I know they did that. You know, we don't know if they did that, you know. And my thing is just how we give strangers the benefit of the doubt. When do we start giving up on one another as family and as loved ones, you know? And then we also begin to the hatred and the disgust and the lack of respect, you know, for one another. And so when you talked about that, Coach Eric, everyone individually have to begin to make a conscious decision. And I love what you said about time, because time is running out for everyone. And not only that, we have to respect time. We got to understand we can't get time back. We can't make time up. You know, we say, oh, well, I'm going to make up the time that I did. No, you can't make time up. Let me tell you something. I don't care how much you try to get sleep. You'll get rest in your body, but you can't make time up. You know, you may say, okay, I'm going to go back to school later on because I didn't go when I was 18. I wanted to go straight to college. You can still do that, but you're not making time up. Anytime time has left us, you know, we can't get that moment back. We can't get that time back. And I've learned, and Coach Eric said it, for the past 3 or 4 weeks, we have many people who have gone on to be on with the Lord. We had someone that was murdered in our family. We have different situations. People who have been sick and emergency surgeries. And I mean, this thing is going on. And it is not a coincidence that even in this season, the Lord had laid on our heart and put this time topic together. I let someone know the enemy, for one, does not like family. He does not like unity. And any time he see you trying to get along, or you're trying to love on your family, or you're the ones that you consider not lovable, you know, the enemy will always try to use things to try to keep you separated. And guess what? Our place as saints of God, as believers, is that we're supposed to always be trying to go the extra mile. You know, we try to always go the extra mile for those who we know, and friends, and my best friend, and my homie, and my girl, and all of that. But the Bible lets us know that, you know, what does it mean to send all that love, show all that support to somebody you love and somebody you care? You know, what about, can you show the same love? Can you show that same respect? Because we already know it's there because you're showing it to someone. But can you have that same love, that same respect, and show it to someone that you just had an encounter with and it wasn't so friendly? It wasn't so nice, you know? It was a misunderstanding. It was, you know, a little drama, you know? Okay, she may be a drama queen, but if you have the love of Christ in her, that's the very person that Christ is trying to get you to love. Because remember when we weren't so lovable, you know? And that's the thing we can't forget, you know? It might not have been like someone else, but we weren't lovable at one time. We did some things that displeased God. And God showed grace and mercy and saved us and changed our lives and our minds. And we cannot forget that regardless of whether it wasn't what somebody else did, we still was in sin, and we still had a dark heart. We still had a dark mind, you know. And now that God has brought us out of that, it doesn't make us better than anyone. It just make God have made us better in our condition. And if God has done that for us, God can do it for anybody else. But are you willing to make the sacrifice? Because God is actually trying to use you to change that person's life.
All right, that was well said. Okay, so we're going to get into our segments. Our first segment this evening, we're going to deal with the title of the show, the past, the present, the future. We're going to deal with the past first. Let me start by saying it this way. In most of our early years, most of us are feeling our way. We're learning how to socialize, how to deal with people. We're learning ourselves. Also, this is where we make the bulk of our mistakes. Hopefully, we overcome our failures and come out with some wisdom. Or we correct our mistakes so that when we begin to mature, we can deal with more wisdom. We're going to have some scars from some of the things that happened to us, but as long as we survive those scars with our lives intact, we should come out wiser. So what I want to do is talk about some of the things, how the past can affect us. Okay, some of the things that our family members, including ourselves, have done concerning the past, making it affect the present and the future. One of the things that we have to be careful about, even in our communications and our gatherings when the family comes together, that we don't start bringing up foolish behaviors from our past. Because when we talk about foolish behaviors from our past, it can influence people that's around today to think that you're still like that, or that it can discredit the person you are today.
You know, Coach Eric, and I've had that happen to me, just to share really quick a testimony. I've had that happen to me, and actually it happened to me several times. And I thank God for at that time or in that moment or those moments when it happened, I didn't respond because I've learned, and it was times I did respond, but – how much glory am I giving God if I respond out of my flesh? So I remember responding out of my flesh. And when I began to get older and I realized, actually, when you respond out of your flesh, when you walk away, you already know you ain't give God glory, because the Holy Spirit is tapping you and saying, you know what, you shouldn't have responded to that. You didn't respond right. I know what they said was wrong. But God is not always looking at what somebody do wrong to us. He's looking at our response if we say we have the love of God. And so how we react and how we respond to the negativity, to someone stabbing us in the back, to someone hurting us, to someone trying to blame us and discredit our name, whatever it is, God is looking at your maturity level and how you deal. And so for a few times I would get upset and I would go home crying, and I would be just so, I was a babe in Christ, and I was so upset because I'm like, well, you know, don't they see I'm changed, and why are they still talking about all these bad things, and, you know, that kind of thing. And then as time went on, I began to mature, and I got to the place where I would say something and God wasn't pleased with that either. And so now I've grown and got to a place when people begin to talk like that, sometimes you can't say anything at all. You know, wisdom will sometimes make you just be quiet. You know, some stuff we have to eat. And we have to eat in this salvation and just take it, you know. God will see your maturity and your level of dealing with things, and then God will make a way where you'll be able to say it, because now what you're going to say is going to have some wisdom, and it's going to then allow people to see that you're changed. But if you jump up and start screaming, how they like, see, you know, because the other thing you got to watch is the enemy, you know, because the enemy is well aware of your past, and the enemy need a body, and a lot of times he used people, and when he used somebody, it's always to make people see that you're not where, you know, you say you are, or where you're not where you have been living for few years, or how long you've been saved, however long God had your conversion and what God has done in your life. So the enemy is always trying to make somebody, make them see that you're not changed. So it's our responsibility as Christians to remember that. And sometimes we fall short because we're looking at the individual, but we don't see the background, the scenes of the enemy operating. And he is trying to actually make you respond away, because the person you're discussing is probably the same person you have to lead to Christ. This is why we need the wisdom of God. Everything don't have to be said right then and there. And so time went on, and it was just recently this year. Because I'm going to tell you now, I was a humdinger. Yes, I was. I don't lie about my testimony, who I was, and what God delivered me from. That is actually what makes what God did so much greater. But what Coach Eric said is, when we come together, I don't need you to bring up what I did 20 years ago, you know? And it's amazing how people will bring up what you did 20 years ago, but no one talk, or 20 years ago, but no one talk about the change in the 20 years when you haven't done that. You know, people not going to bring that up, you know? So anyway, that was brought up, and very kindly, very politely, and that's because now God had groomed me to the place that I was able to say, you know what? I sure did. You know, I did those things, and those things were not pleasing to God. I said, and it's been about almost 20 years, January the 1st, and I give God glory, because had not he saved me and changed my life and brought me from that, I could be in jail. I could be homeless. It's so many things that could have happened to me. So you're right, but I'm not that person anymore. So you have to be able to say it in a mature way where no one is offended. People see you're not offended, because guess what? If you jump all on and start screaming and acting all, guess what? They see that the change, you, that thing still affect you, you know? So this is why I always say on this show, it's time for us to really get delivered for real from those issues from our past, so God can come in and do such a great work. Now when you go amongst people, people not only will see the change, but you'll be mature enough to give them Christ the right way.
Thanks, Coach. Okay, so what did we learn? Okay, in these family gatherings, don't bring up foolish behaviors from individuals' past to influence perception of other people or to hurt the individual itself.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're not going to do that. And if somebody does that to you, okay, be mature enough to be secure and who God made you today, and then offer them Christ. And give your testimony about where God brought me from. Okay, that's a good time to bring God into the conversation. When they talk about you, don't come back strong. Be humble and bring God into the conversation. Yeah, man, I did that, but God delivered me from that. Thank God. Okay? Now, another thing. Okay? Talking about the past now. Not addressing or talking the truth. Now, I want to talk about this word, history. Now, we use this word all the time, history. And when somebody says history, automatically we believe what was said about what happened back then. Now, I've learned over the years, after all the schooling I've had, that 50 to 60% of what we call history is a lie. Don't trust those books. And even what they teach you, because once you start researching, you find that George Washington did not even have an apple tree in his backyard. So what I'm saying is, history, if you break the word down, is his story against your story. So what happens is when people tell stories from the past, they tell it from their vantage point, from what they saw. And they might not even know the truth. And sometimes they're not even old enough to know what happened way back then, but they talk about it as if they were there. That's what history is. It's your story. And what happens is you cause all this division in the family because you never address the truth about what happened in the past. What really happened and why? Because once you hear the other story, you'd be like, well, which one of these stories is true? Here's the important thing. You let the information move you to a decision whether you knew the truth or not. You see what happens there? Okay, so we got to be careful. And what we hear from family members when they start telling these stories, because some of these stories are actual stories. They made that stuff up so that they can be mad at each other. And nothing really happened that was all that deep.
Oh, we come to expose the devil.
Oh, yeah, we're going to expose the devil today. Okay, because it causes division in the family. Okay, so I'm going to drink some cold water and take a sedative and calm down. I get really excited when I start talking about the truth. And we define the truth as original information. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, we're going to take a little commercial.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Yeah, so I'm over here laughing because Coach Eric is, like, out of control, okay? I'm passionate with him, though, because, as you know, we're talking about family, and family does matter. And what happens is, you know, when you think about our ancestors and think about what our great, 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 grandmom and great-great-great-grandfather, all those who were before us, and what they went through. I feel like they went through enough that we should not only be going through some of the same things, but we shouldn't definitely be going through the same thing where we are now, you know, the slaves aren't dividing us. We are dividing ourselves now. We are the ones, and we are the culprit of the family union being all broken up, you know? And so for whatever reason, before we started talking about this show, we just began to talk about how wonderful it would be if we had families that could really be on one accord. How much great would our communities be if families would be on one accord? How wonderful would our cities be if families would be on one accord? You know, we're not saying all families are damaged and all families have issues, and then you do have some, and you might only have one person in a family or two people. You may have it generational going down, whatever the case is. What, even if it's that one person, everybody should be reaching out to that one person to draw that one person in. Because guess what? Even if it's one person hurting, guess what? The whole family is hurting. There is no such thing as, oh, I'm going to do my thing, I don't care about nobody else, and you're going to live your life. No, it doesn't work. I guarantee you, and I felt this thing even for someone that I didn't even know, but watch their whole mentality of it. When that person is no longer here on earth and pass away, I don't care how much you have ought and what happened and all of that leave you when you know that that was a blood relative or someone related to you, and you're never going to see that person again. That affects you, you know? And if it affect you when they left, come on, how much more? What sense did it make? You telling me it was that deep? You know, it was that important not to come together and squash whatever it is and to love on one another so the next generation would not perpetuate that same attitude, that same mentality. Because really, when it stays with adults, it passed down to the children. Children, like Coach Eric said, has no idea what happened. They don't know what's going on. And it goes from the children, then it goes down to the next generation. And here the whole family is upset over something nobody understood, nobody knew. And it's still going on and on and on. It's broken, and we need to fix it, you know?
Which brings me to this. Being offended, then holding a grudge because you was offended. Okay? Now, this here, right, all right, is what causes division and causes internal family feuds, because an offense that was made and then a grudge that was held from the one who was offended against. Now, the Bible denotes that offenses must come. And God will deal with it, because he says, woe unto them that offend. So God is going to deal with that. What God commands his people to do, the believer, is to forgive. This is the whole purpose how we got forgiven for our sin nature by Christ, you know, because God forgave us and sent his son. And once we came to Christ and received him, that was the forgiveness of sins. How can we hold grudges and unforgiveness for offenses toward us? That's for the Christian. Now, for someone who's in the world, I'm talking to you. Why are you going to hold a grudge over something that happened so many years ago? Because right now, you're in a disconnect with someone and wasting precious time that you could be spending with someone, a loved one, because of an offense and the holding of a grudge. It is causing timely, perpetual damage. And then it is inherited and is passed down to the children who's carrying your grudge. They don't even know what the offense was. God forbid some of the older elders have died and they're gone. And their siblings or their offspring are still carrying this offense and grudge.
And you're right, because Coach Eric, I'm telling you, we are dealing, and this is another reason why this show was laid on our hearts, because we're dealing with people, you know, whether it's our family, different families, and people are have passed away and been gone 20 years, 25 years, and this person is still our people, because this is not just a one-time incident. This is something that we've been dealing with for the past maybe few years, and we notice that it's been going on and on and on, and here people are in hostage. They are in bondage to someone who passed away 25 years ago, and what they did or what they didn't do and what they said. And I'm saying, my God, you know, and you got to understand, I'm going back to the culprit, is the enemy that want to keep you in bondage so you will not be free, you know. And we have to really start saying to ourselves, and why am I feeling like this? And how long have this been? You know, you got to see how crazy that sounds. And one of the things I realize is when you are in bondage, nobody not only can't tell you anything, but you don't even see you in bondage. You don't see that you're in bondage until you become free. You know, then you're saying, oh, my God, you know, how long was I thinking like that? How long was my mindset? How long was I holding that? And we don't understand not only that it unforgiveness hold up our future and the things that we want to do and all the plans. You can have all these plans in the world of being successful. You can have all of that. But that unforgiveness will begin to weigh in your physical body, you know, bringing up physical ailments and diseases, you know, because we were not designed and created to hold that type of malice towards mankind. We just were not, you know, heart disease and livers and kidneys and headaches and stress and, you know, agonizing over the same thing over and over and over again. I guarantee you, if you forgive the person, you will see such a relief and a release of all of that. It's important. It really is.
I hope someone's getting something from this, because what I don't like to do is walk around downtown or wherever I'm at and see all these angry people walking by me, and you're angry, you're waking up angry with your fist all clenched. Because you got some stuff that you're dealing with,
right,
that you haven't allowed to let go,
and
then you can't find any peace, and you're just a mean joker.
And you take it out on everybody.
You even get the doctor in on it. Oh, I got some kind of, you know, I'm bipolar. Yeah, well, some people are bipolar, but most of you cats are just mean. Okay, you need to get over that. All right? So this is the Marriage Playbook, Season 6. Game 8, this real Christian Reynolds, Family Matters, Part 3, talking about the past, the present, and the future. We're going to come back and give you a future.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship, prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
You know what I thought about, especially when we were off the air a few minutes ago? Because sometimes me and Coach Eric and myself will be sitting here, and we may not say anything during the commercial breaks. And that's one of the moments we had a few minutes ago going to commercial. And so I was sitting here, and I was thinking about the mistakes I've made in life. And I was thinking to myself, I said, you know what? It would have been so wonderful if I hadn't made any mistakes. You know, but I have, and I made a lot of mistakes. And in my mistakes and making mistakes, I hurt a lot of people, you know. And my thing, what I've learned is some people I was able to apologize and they received my apology. Some people will never forgive me. That's going to be something God is going to have to deal with their hearts, because I'm not going to allow what I did 10 years ago to have me in bondage, because that's another thing. You got to forgive yourself for some of the things that you have done. But I'm coming from this point of forgiveness. You know, you got to think about all the mistakes and things you've done and all the people you've hurt along the way, whether you did it intentionally or unintentionally. We have all done some things that made us ashamed and made us look back and say, man, if I had it to do it all over again, I would do it differently when it comes to hurting people and not caring. And, okay, we were hurt, so we didn't care about the decisions we made, so we hurt other people, and we didn't care if we hurt people because we were hurt. And that didn't make it right. But the point is, if God can overlook all of that, of what I've done, and this is how I was able to start forgiving people, you know, if God can overlook all of my mess, all of my flaws, all of the things I've done and how I've hurt people, even in my trying to get better and trying to do the right thing, I still make mistakes, you know? As a professional cosmetologist, I always want to do the best I can do when I'm doing a client hair. But if I burn somebody's hair mistakenly or accidentally, for one, that client may never forgive me, and I may never get that client back and may lose clients because of that, because they're upset and they're going to, you know. But guess what? I did it, whatever I could do to make it right, and I couldn't no more. And so, listen, I did everything, you know. And if that client never come back, I got to know in my heart it wasn't done intentionally. I hurt that person, yes. I tried to make it right, but now I got to forgive myself, and I just got to get better at that point. And that's what we do in life. Sometimes we're going to make some mistakes where the person will never forgive us, but that don't mean that you don't continue to keep trying to be a better person. And after you've done all you can do, you know, you have to keep going on. But the thing we cannot do is continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. Especially after people forgive us, and then we continue on to hurt people and to maliciously do things, you know. So that forgiveness thing is so, so important. It will keep you in bondage. It will destroy your future. It will mess with your marriage if you're planning on getting married, or if you are married, you know, if you have children. It can do so much damage. But I've learned, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, He began to expose me to me. He began to show me myself. And the more He showed me myself was when I can really look at people differently, you know, like, oh, my goodness, you know. And then I'm not so arrogant and not so prideful and not so into myself and think I'm all of that, that even now when you make a mistake, Francis, be woman enough, be godly enough, be a sister, be a mother, be a grandmother to be able to apologize and say, you know what, I was wrong. I should have handled that a little different. I'm sorry my tone was a little harsh. Please forgive me. You know, we get this thing where we don't owe nobody an apology. We don't owe nobody nothing. Oh, it was their fault. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to try to. No.
No, we got to begin to apply one of the things God has given us in our hearts, or the ability, is to be humble, to have humility, you know, in his love. So I'm telling you, wonderful, 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 wonderful feeling when you can begin to not only forgive yourself, but to forgive others.
All right. Well said. Now, can we keep the past in our memory and not in our present or in our future? That's important, because that's back there now. That's gone. We can't get it back, and we can't relive it. It's over. You know, you're 55, not 20. Why'd you try to jump over that fence? That's how you broke your leg. That was the past. You've done that before. I don't hop fences anymore. I just walk through the gate now. Okay, so we got to learn where we are and move forward and keep the past back there. You know, and don't bring the past forward. Only the good memories and the lessons that we have learned. Okay, we're going to deal with the future really quick. All right? Now, the future is dealing with what we want for our families going forward. You know, we want our children to have what we didn't have. We want them to have a more better and successful life than we had, and we want that in every way. We want our children to be close to one another, to have a strong bond of unity, so they can have the ability to survive what's coming next. We want them to lean on each other, because they're the family that's going to be left when we're gone. So we want them to be together. God forbid we go to our graves and our children not talking to each other. You worry about what's going to happen to my son, what's going to my daughter when I die. Well, that depends on what you fed into them, what you taught them, what you prepared them for. Again, if you're going to have something in your past, have something good that's going to be able to be beneficial to their development, that's going to help their future. The wisdom of God is key here, that it is displayed and that it is taught. And that's all I'm going to talk to about the future, because we don't know what's going to happen, but we should prepare for it the best we could and positively. We don't want nothing negative going forward.
And you know, Coach Eric, in order for that to happen, everyone has to play their own individual part. You know, that's what I'm realizing, that everyone has to play their own individual part. You know, and for me, and I think I said this before in part one or part two, I'm not sure which one, but that's when the new year came in. I don't make resolutions. I just say to myself, I want to become better and work on those areas, whether it's my personal life, whether it's being better in ministry, cultivating our businesses, whether it's reading more, I don't care, whatever it is. It starts with me. You know, it's not me pointing a finger at someone else doing it, or me pointing a finger and saying someone is not doing it. It's for me to do, you know. And so I don't care if it's, okay, Francis, I'm learning. Don't put more on your schedule than you're able to handle. Don't make promises to people, and it's overwhelming. Not that you don't want to keep it. Sometimes your schedule is just overwhelming, and then you got to call back and say, look, I can't do that. But that person probably was really looking forward to that. That's something I had to learn and still learning. Look, let me get back to you. I'm not really sure. Let me discuss it with my husband. Let me talk to my pastor. Whatever it is, can you speak out? Oh, let me talk to my pastor. Let me talk to my bishop. I mean, you got to know not to answer people right then and there, because it may be in your heart you want to do it, but you're not able to. And so, again, spend time with those you haven't seen. I mean, get into the place where, okay, I'm making sure I'm either connected to everyone on social media or making sure I have everyone's number. I don't care. Out of the week, I'm calling someone. I'm being mindful of people's birthdays. I mean, you as an individual have to go the extra mile. People would love if you just drop a card in the mail. You know, listen, I know it's your birthday, or I might have missed your birthday, but I remembered, whatever the case may be. The individual have to be the one. Go to the children's games, activities, you know, and I'm talking not just your own children, but your friend, your children's friends, and I mean, begin to be that community again. From you, you started off, you know. Next thing you know, it gets contagious, and the next person will begin to want to develop that same attitude. You know, bake cakes and take it to the school. Give it to the teacher. I don't care. But we have to individually begin to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. I hear all the time, oh, we got to get the family together. Oh, we got to. Who is the we? You know, who is the we that we're talking about? You know, after the family get together, then it's we. But who, you know, initially it's going to take probably one person to do it.
Thank you, Coach. She just hit it. What you going to do now? Okay, now we're going to get right into the present. We're going to deal with the present. What you do now? Whose job is it? What we put in, what we put in now, will come out later. This is the principle of sowing and reaping. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So what you put in now is going to come out later. Listen to this. If you was disrespectful to your mom, you got to remember you're going to have kids too.
Yep.
And guess what's going to happen to your kids? They're going to be disrespectful to you. Why? Because that's what you sowed. So what you going to do now? Now I'm talking to adults, because I know some people that's disrespectful to their family, and they grown men and women. And then they talk to you about how their kids treat them, and I just put my hands up in the air and say, what you expect? What did you sow? Did you give your mom and your dad a hard time? Okay, well, guess what? It's coming back, baby. So what you going to do now? Here's my advice. Work on yourself now. Do no damage and make necessary repairs with your jacked up character. Come, I'm going to treat you like I'm your brother and your friend. You got a jacked up character and you need to do something about it. You need to improve in that area. Too many people have coddled you and let you be that way and allowed you to be that way and said, that's just who you are. Well, if you got a nasty, jacked up attitude, you need to work on yourself.
Yes, I'm telling you, we're talking about now being responsible for your own actions, you know, and I want to read something. I remember hearing this for the first time in church, actually, and you guys probably all know about this poem, and I want to read this, and this is the mindset that most people have, and then nothing gets done. We're talking about individually people being responsible, and somebody has to do it. So the parable of responsibility, everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody were members of a group. There was an important job to do, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody would have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody would do it, but nobody realized that anybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. I think that is so powerful. That's just so powerful, and I never forget that was read in church. And that is so true. We keep looking for this and putting it on someone else. It is everybody's responsibility. You know, and I just thought that was so deep, and I wanted to read that. I know some of you probably already heard that, but that is so powerful, and that's how we do. Oh, I'm not going to make the phone call. They ain't call me. Oh, they ain't come to my barbecue. Well, how, you know, did they know about the barbecue? Did you personally invite them to the barbecue, or did you do it word of mouth to one person, and then that person didn't spread it on? Listen, if you're having something, it is your individual. You are the individual that's supposed to invite everybody. I never forget someone said, well, you didn't come. They were mad at me. You didn't come. And I said, well, I didn't know you were having it. Well, I put it on Facebook. Well, how am I supposed to know that you put it on Facebook for me to attend this event if you did not tag me to it, if you did not message me if, you know, sometimes you miss things in the feed. But the point is, come on, Facebook is not a way that you're supposed to personally invite somebody anyway, unless it's a group thing and you're letting everyone know. We have to stop it with this, you know, because sometimes people do things so stuff can continue on. Don't be the one that's always stirring the pot and throwing stuff in it and turning up the flame. You know, be the one that's always going to be the peacemaker. Blessed is the peacemaker, you know. And guess what? That peacemaker, what? They're going to inherit the kingdom of God. God don't like folks that's always stirring up strife and always got division going on and aught and stirring up stuff and throwing stuff in there. And if you're around somebody like that, you're supposed to be the one to be able to be mature enough to diffuse it, you know. Be the one that you don't know nothing that's going on. Why? Because people know if they bring negativity to you, you're going to squash it. And you're going to make people respect one another and go to one another. You know, you can't come to me and start gossiping and talking about somebody to me. And don't let them be family, because I want to know what's your problem. You know? And so we need to start loving each other and stopping each other and dealing with each other on a more, really, really a more loving way. You know, we're not strangers. We're not in the street and fights and all kinds of stuff. You know, we really got to get better. We really do.
Thank you, Coach. Listen, I'm going to give you a little bit of a Sunday school lesson that I taught on yesterday. We talked about sin nature and things of that nature. We talked about sin nature. One of the things I have to say that we have to be real with our own nature, okay? Because our sinful nature, we have to identify that our flesh wants what is evil. That's what our flesh wants. If you're having problems in your family, 9 times out of 10, you're walking in your flesh because it wants to stir up stuff, keep stuff going, ain't happy, not unless there's confusion going on.
Right.
Hey, you know who the awful confusion is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what we must do to change our nature is to walk in the Spirit. We need to come to Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who can change our nature. God is the only one who can give us the power, supernatural ability, to put our flesh under subjection. So the answer and solution is always Jesus, because we have to come to Him so He can eradicate us from our sinful nature.
And listen, it's not easy. I mean, it's not hard is what I meant to say. You know, asking the Lord to come into your heart and asking the Lord to develop you into the man or the woman of God He created you to be. Because really that's the other thing we don't see, is that the enemy does not want us to grow, don't want us to mature, don't want us. He wants to keep us in bondage, and we're taught, and he's trying to keep the families separated. So then this is why all the killings are going on and all the drama. This is why all the things are going on in the world. We got to put the blame or open up our eyes and give the responsibility to the one who's trying to destroy mankind, and that is the enemy. You know, the Lord came, not only did he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So all the success, all the love, all the joy, the peace, all of the things that we desire that's in our heart, First of all, you got to understand God placed them there. Them desires are there, and they were put there by God. But the enemy don't want you to reach your full potential, you know. So please, please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you know him, ask him, God, I need to get better in these areas, and I can't do this without you. That's the thing we got to admit to him. God, I can't do this without you. I need you in my life. I want to be the one that my family can depend on. And listen, yes, they may do things to hurt me. Yes, they may come at, but God, I need to be in a place where I can overlook all of that and still be able to love and stretch out my arm to them just like you stretched out your arm to me. You know, it's important because we're losing our children on these streets. We're losing our mothers, and our mothers, single mothers and fathers are struggling when they shouldn't have to, because if the family unite and come together and support each other, we would not suffer in some of the things that we're suffering in.
All right. Well said, Coach. We're coming to a close. Okay, so we want to thank you for listening today.
Yes.
You know, I think this was some information that I believe you can use. And hopefully your family get better. Please call us and get back. Let us know, did some of this information help you?
Yep,
was it a blessing to you? Okay, we'll be back.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Okay, so look, I'm telling you, phenomenal. I pray, like Coach Eric said, that we said something that was going to be a blessing to you, something that was going to help you, something that will bring truth, amen, to your situation. And most of all, we always pray for great homes, great successes in the home, great success in marriages and raising our children, developing our relationship in God. We thank God for who he is and his love towards mankind. But listen, I want to let you know, Precious Rubies Ministry is having a women's conference November the 3rd, 2018, and we would love for every woman under the sound of my voice, even if you don't hear this till next week, listen, you can go to PreciousRubiesMinistry@gmail.com and register for the conference. Yes, this is Precious Rubies Wait on Your Mate Women's Conference. This is November the 3rd, 2018, and all you have to do, and it is free, all you have to do is go to PreciousRubiesMinistry@gmail.com, and all you have to do is put your name, and how many guests you are bringing with you. Yes, this is in Philadelphia, and all the information will be shot right back to you in email. Amen. So we're looking for the women. God is going to move so mightily. If you want to know about your household a little more, your marriage, you want to be strengthened, I'm telling you, we got some powerful women that's coming forth from all over. Amen. So please come on out or go ahead and email us, and we'll send you all the information. Look, we got phenomenal shows on PJC Media. We are so grateful to be a part of this phenomenal, phenomenal production company. Always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Listen, on Sundays at 2:30 p.m., we have our own Deborah Lassiter Oh, my goodness, Dovetails, I'm telling you, phenomenal show. She's still in her series. I'm telling you, need to go on there and look at what the Lord is using her to do. Tuesdays at 7 p.m., Write Stuff. Oh, my goodness, I'm telling you, don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, all kinds of authors, all kinds of things that's going on with our own Parker Cole. Listen, Fridays, Let's Talk About It with Jenny White, and that's on at 8 p.m., and that's Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday, Parker J. Cole Show, that's at 2 p.m. Saturdays, we welcome our newly, amen. At 3:30, it's the Craig Carstell Show. Amen. I hope I said that right, but we welcome you, my brother. We are so excited. And don't forget, on Mondays, the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. We love you so much. Please keep tuning in. Please keep praying for us. And listen, we're going to be out here, and we're going to see you guys on next Monday. We love you. We love you with the love of God. Enjoy your week. Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.